whether you're just creating content to maybe generate business for your business or sell something, people like to do business with people. The best way and the best tool and the best platform for making a personal connection with people is YouTube and putting your face on it. It's going to be always more powerful than a blog post. I'm not saying don't do blog posts. Absolutely be doing that if you're writing content. But it's the best way for people to build a genuine connection with you. And it's the fastest way of getting what is been referred to in different ways, 1,000 followers, 1,000 super fans. And that's what you need to really take your business to new heights. YouTube is the fastest vehicle for that. But put your face on it.
That was Adam Prizer, founder of the YouTube channel WP Crafter, where he teaches non-techies how to use WordPress. In this episode, Adam shares his story of growing his YouTube channel to over 132,000 subscribers by consistently showing up and making a personal connection. He also talks about co-founding the very popular funnel-building WordPress plugin Cartflows, which, by the way, I'm a huge fan of, and how he's leveraging it to revolutionize how people build sales funnels online. I'm really excited for you to hear this one, so let's jump in.
You're listening to the Content Heroes Podcast, where entrepreneurs, marketers, and creatives share how they've built profitable businesses on their own terms by creating content online. And now, your host, Josiah Goff.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to Content Heroes. I'm here with Adam Prizer, who is the founder of WP Crafter and the co-founder of Cartflows. Adam, thanks so much for being on the show today.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate the invite, and I love doing stuff like this and sharing my story. I like to be an open book, so I'll be an open book for you and for your audience today.
Oh, that sounds fantastic. So let's jump in then. Why don't you tell us how you got started in online content creation and what that journey's looked like?
Yeah, well, I guess I'm maybe like the accidental online content creator, right? There was no intentionality behind me getting started, which I guess is different these days. I'm sure there's more intent behind it than how it happened for me. So before I started with WP Crafter, for those of you that don't know, it's a YouTube channel. It's a whole brand around a niche called WordPress and creating WordPress websites, having a website, doing search engine optimization. And it started out in 2014 as me just randomly getting this wacky idea to put a couple videos on YouTube. And I didn't actually take it serious. Fast forward to today. So we're in 2019. I got this little, they're called Lemetrics. So anyone that has a YouTube channel is probably going to want one or should go get one. And it just constantly tells you your stats. So I know as of today, I have 132,000 subscribers. And that number goes up by 4,000 new subscribers per month. I wish it was per day, but you know, I'm working up to that. So I've come a long way. But how it started was, prior to this, I was kind of, I like to describe it as a semi-retirement. I'm not an old guy, I'm a young guy. And I wasn't semi-retired as in I'm like rich and flush with cash, but I was semi-retired. I had a kid, I was in between businesses, traditional business, and I just wanted to be with my son as he grew up. And he, as all kids do, they eventually start going to school, and then you find yourself with a whole heck of a lot more time on your hands. And I would love watching YouTube videos, and I would watch YouTube videos maybe about a review of a product or something along those lines. And I'm always one of those guys that sees someone doing something and say, they're having a lot of success doing this. Maybe I'll just give it a shot too. And I threw up a couple of videos and they were really bad. I mean, I didn't put my face in it. The audio was good, but the delivery was filled with ums and ahs and all that kind of stuff. And I uploaded a few videos just about random topics. There wasn't even any intentionality. And I would never consider myself an expert. And I certainly wasn't an expert back then either. So I put up a few videos and I don't really pay much attention to it. And I'm on vacation with my wife in 2015. So it's been a year and I wasn't doing this consistently or anything like that. I put the videos up. I didn't track subscribers or views or anything. I wasn't even paying attention to that stuff. threw the videos up. I'm with my wife. We're at the Red Rock Casino, which is great for families in Las Vegas. And we're chilling out. They have an amazing pool. I'm chilling out on the pool. My son's swimming. I'm in swimming, but now I'm on the little reclining chair. And my wife's like, how's that YouTube channel thing you did? How's that thing working out? And I said, I don't know. Let me check. I pull out my iPhone. I download the YouTube app and I look and I was like, oh my gosh, there's, I think at the time there might have been 800 or eight, maybe, I think it was maybe only 800 subscribers or maybe 2,000 subscribers. I don't remember the exact number. It was 800 views that month and people were subscribing and leaving comments and all that. And I thought, oh my gosh, I just put a video up and I forgot all about it. And I said to my wife, I said, huh, there might be something here. Maybe when we get home, I should be a little bit more serious about this. And then I decided I'm going to get more serious. And I started being a little bit more consistent, not really having a plan other than uploading more videos. And the channel just grew and grew and grew. And today, 132,000 subscribers, that number is constantly going up. There's also a Facebook group with 25,000 people in it. I get 100,000 people a month on my website. So there's all these things going on and it leads into more and more and more things. So there's a whole story. I don't know if you wanted the whole thing in like this 5-minute chunk.
Oh, no, that's fantastic. So let's go back to where, you know, you're at the pool with your family. You realize, hey, there may be something to this YouTube thing. What was your next step? What was going through your head at that point? Like, where did you go with it?
Well, the first thing I thought was, how can I make money from this thing? You know, not like out of a sense of greed, but out of a sense of, well, maybe there's an income opportunity here. I knew about affiliate marketing or referral marketing. I prefer calling it referral marketing. So I know about that. I know there's AdSense. Ironically, well, everybody that's on YouTube or thinks about going on YouTube, you know the AdSense is pathetic. You know, you're not going to be letting Google put ads in front of your video and then you're rich. And it's funny, I actually didn't put ads on my video until late 2017, years later. Anyways, so I thought, well, maybe I can do some kind of a services thing and generate leads from it and stuff like that. So that was the first order of business. Can I earn any money from this, the effort that would go into this? But even then, I didn't have a plan other than, okay, I'm going to listen to other people that are further along and they're sharing strategies about how to make something like this work so I can get some ideas myself and just try to upload more videos about more things. You know, I'll tell you, you didn't actually ask this question. I think what has worked for me, you didn't ask what's worked for me, but I'm going to just cut to the chase.
Go for
it. I think not having a plan and not being a pro worked in my favor because I make every mistake in the book. I was very raw, especially in those early couple of years. And I would be super, I'm an opinionated guy. So I'd be super opinionated in the videos and I created some enemies in it. And some people that just will always hate my guts, but most people don't feel that way. However, when you can have a polarizing opinion, that gets people to either really like you or really not like you. And the guys that really like you will come back. And the guys that really don't like you might come back too, because they want to see more things that they don't like. I don't know.
Oh, I love it. So going back, you said that you know, one of the first things you did, you started listening to and learning from people who were already successful. Do you remember who some of those people were? Like, what were some of the big things, the big takeaways from that?
Yeah. So as a matter of fact, was it last week? My whole mind is all mixed up. It was last week. Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday was an event called Vid Summit in Los Angeles. And that's the one event that the most influential YouTubers and video strategies get talked about. It's better than VidCon. VidCon is just the general YouTuber and fanboys and fangirls. This isn't that. This is, you know, people that are making a serious business out of YouTube. And they were all there. So the guy that puts on the event, his name is Daryl Eaves. And he was someone I was listening to very early on to learn strategies. He puts the event on. at the time. He's not as active now, but his name is Tim Schmoyer. And he's funny. I can be a little opinionated myself. And he made a video and I got in a little YouTube argument with him over the comment section about monetization. I was saying, I don't care if people use ad blockers. He was saying it's stealing from people. And I got in a big argument with him and I unsubscribed from him, but I had a change of heart. Him, there's several other people that inspired me indirectly. One of my favorite YouTubers, and he'll always be someone I look up to. His name is Marquez Brown Lee, but his YouTube channel is MKBHD. And he does like tech product reviews. And what was always amazing to me about him, I think he might be like 20 or 22 now. He's got like 10 million subscribers. And he started making videos when he was like 13. You know, tech review videos when he was 13. And you can go on his channel and you can go to his very first videos and you just see this scrawny little kid there, you know, talking about this laptop that his parents just bought him and reviewing it. Now he's like big superstar. I mean, he just did an interview with Will Smith, you know, the famous actor and musician. He was invited to go interview Elon Musk at Tesla. So he brought a whole film crew there and interviewed him. So now he's like, and I think he also interviewed Bill Gates. So he's like an elite level rock star. But these guys inspired me because these are, well, for him, he was a normal kid who just did the same thing over and over and over, didn't worry about perfection because he sure as heck wasn't perfect, but just came back over and over, got better. Now he's amazing. But you can see the genesis that he went through, and it's very inspiring. And it's people like that that make you realize that anyone can do this if that person is willing to consistently persevere through when only five people might watch your video. So
that's fantastic. I think you hit on something really, really important there. And that is that, and this is a theme that keeps coming up in these conversations that I have with online content creators, and that's just consistency, you know, showing up every day, every week. And one of my coaches, Jim Fortin, he has a saying that he hammers into us all the time, and that is 70% perfect is success, 100% perfect is failure. Mm. Right. And it's the idea that it's never going to be perfect. And if you try to go for that, you know, that's going to keep you from putting it out there. And it's a way to kind of keep yourself feel safe by claiming that you just want it to be perfect. And I think you absolutely nailed it there of showing up, being consistent and not worrying about perfection, striving to do better. And, you know, and looking back and saying, hey, next time, how can we do this a little bit better and a little bit better until, you know, until you're really, you know, top class. I'm curious for you, you know, what were some of those things that you've done consistently that's gotten better over time that you've learned that's really helped aid your success?
Yeah. So, you know, I think that for me, the first step, and this is actually something that I'm constantly doing. As a matter of fact, I'm doing it in a more extreme way right now, is I constantly want the quality of my videos to be better. So I've bought every mic imaginable. Now I've got mixers, I've got mics, I've got all this, but I started on a mic that I bought off eBay for like $60 so I could sound good. And I started with some light that cost $40. Now my lights, they're like $400 or something like that. My initial camera that I started with was a webcam that is $60 on Amazon right now. And probably 100 or 200 videos were using that. Now I use a $2,200 camera. So I like to make the quality better, but I don't need to go from 0 to 100 overnight. It's all incremental, you know? So I went from I didn't go from the $60 microphone to the $400 microphone. I went from the $60 to $90 microphone. And I always just work my way forward and worked the best with what I had. So there's that aspect of things. I've always wanted to have quality stuff, but also you have to learn over time, how are you going to market your content too? Because even though I tell you the story, right, of me looking a year later and looking back and it just got traction automatically, that's the slow way to grow. But there's things you can learn to do to make it grow even further. Finding out where the people are that would really benefit and enjoy your content. So there's that aspect as well. And of course, always being consistent. Well, so with YouTube videos, it's a little different than other types of content. Because when you're making a YouTube video, you make direct connections with the people that are watching that video, especially if you put your face. I put my face in everything. So it's a direct connection. So there's after work you have to do. And that's participate in the conversations. The after work is, you know, I upload a video. I've got 100 comments. I have to respond to them. You need to, you should, I wanted to, but that's additional work that happens after the fact, is to get the conversation going and participate in the conversation. There's some growth hacks you can do with that, having a trained voice dictation software like Dragon Dictate or something like that. But doing that really helped.
That's fantastic. When you were saying, you're talking about putting your face on everything, I just remembered, you know, you and I have been part of a few different Facebook groups for a while. And I remember someone had commented, they were looking for some specific video. And they were like, oh yeah, who is that bald guy on YouTube who was talking about WordPress? And then I was going to comment, and then I saw your comment pop up, and you're like, oh wait, you mean me?
Yeah, you can't. Yeah, you know what? I've learned to roll with it. So for people that are listening that have never seen my face on or experienced any of the content I create, I am a firm believer in putting your face on everything, but that opens you up to some, I'm old school, I'm in my 40s, so we would use the word bagging. I don't know if people use the word bagging anymore, but people bag on me and I actually just roll with it and embrace it, right? And I realize it works with me. So I have a bald head, you know, I'm an early balder, so I just take it all off, but I've got a beautiful aerodynamic head, my wife says, and it works for me. So I get every other day there's someone bagging on my hair, but I just I laugh at it. It's hilarious. So I usually get called that bald guy on YouTube. I get called Dr. Evil a lot. So maybe this Halloween, I want to do a video with, get the Dr. Evil jacket. I get called, and this will die down, Varys from Game of Thrones. But there's certain stuff he has missing that I don't have missing. So I don't usually like that comparison. For those of you that know Game of Thrones, I get called all these names. Oh, the funniest was I look like one of the evil villains in old Indian movies, like from India. And that was fun. I Googled it and I saw like the villains and I thought it was hilarious. So you just have to roll with it. You can't be, if you're going to do YouTube, everyone should be doing YouTube. If you're not, you should definitely consider it and figure out how you can start doing YouTube. But your YouTube is a cesspool of haters. So you're going to get nasty comments and I get the most vulgar comments. However, you over time learn to not take them serious and make it a joke out of it. So if anyone goes on the WP Crafter Facebook page, I usually post those comments there and the response that I had, and we all get a laugh out of it. So anyways, I don't know how I got on the comments and all that kind of stuff, but that's certainly the risk you take when you put your face on it.
Yeah, but that just means that it's working, right? People recognize you for better or worse, but you're out there and people recognize you. So that's yeah. Great.
So one of the copywriting greats is, oh my gosh, his name was just Derek Halpern. Okay, he is like retired. He's pursuing different businesses now. His website and YouTube channel was Social Triggers. Everyone should go there. It's still up as like an archive, but he doesn't do it anymore. And he once made a comment that you want to create remarkable content. And he said, remarkable is something worthy of remark. You want to get people to feel something. You know, you got to get people to feel something. And that's certainly something that has always stuck with me. So you can remark good or remark bad, but hey, any remark on YouTube actually helps the video. So come on, give me a thumbs down. I don't mind. You know?
Oh, I love it. So you mentioned that you think that everyone should be on YouTube right now and figure out how to do that and how to make it fit with what they're doing. I'm really curious if you were, you know, if you hadn't started when you did, if you were to start today knowing what you know now, what might you do differently? Like what would be, or what would be some tips that you would give to the people who do want to get started today, who are just starting out?
Yeah, so I will start by saying I probably wouldn't have done much different. I think the way I got to where I am, there's a lot of lessons to be learned for other people to actually break through. So I'm grateful for where I am. Most YouTubers will never get to what I've been able to accomplish. Let me back up and quantify or try to impress upon anyone listening why they need to get on YouTube. Whether you're just creating content to maybe generate business for your business or sell something or whatever the purpose is, people like to do business with people. I mean, ultimately, everything comes back to business, right? People like to do business with people. The best way and the best tool and the best platform for making a personal connection with people is YouTube and putting your face on it. It's going to be always more powerful than a blog post. I'm not saying don't do blog posts. Absolutely be doing that if you're writing content. But it's the best way for people to build a genuine connection with you. And it's the fastest way of getting what is been referred to in different ways, 1,000 followers, 1,000 super fans. And that's what you need to really take your business to new heights. YouTube is the fastest vehicle for that, but put your face on it. It's funny. All the people, I don't consider myself the leader of the pack in my niche, but everybody follows everything I do. Nobody put their face on it. I put my face on it. Now everybody puts their face on it. Maybe I should stop saying put your face on it. You know, there's that. My thumbnail style. I was talking to a guy, his name's Thiago. He has a business called Dear Designer where they do design work for people. And so he's like, I said, you know, you should get into YouTube thumbnail design. He's like, well, as a matter of fact, we have lots of people that we do thumbnails for, and they say in their brief for the designer, okay, so here's Adam's thumbnail from WP Crafter. Make it look like that. And I was like, oh my gosh. But I'm not really surprised. I have people following what I do and trying to copy it. But you know what's funny? And this is going to tie into answering the question. I know when I see a new person trying to copy me sprout up, I don't even pay attention to them. I keep an eye on them, but I don't pay attention to them till 3 or 4 months later. If they're still doing it 3 or 4 months later and haven't quit, then maybe they might be that person that perseveres through it. So what ends up happening usually, and this is why I said I wouldn't do anything different. What happens usually, and it's normal human nature, you start something, you're excited, and you don't see any results, and you do that for a month, and then you quit, right? Look at diets, look at books. People pick up books, and they read a couple chapters, and they quit, and the chances of them picking it up again are like slim to none. Writing content for your website, you don't see any comments coming in, you don't see the traffic going up, you quit. So when I started my YouTube channel, what did I do? I put the videos up and I wasn't even paying attention to any kind of metrics. I didn't even hold on to a hope or an expectation that this would lead to anything. I just did it. And I looked a year later, a whole full year later. And that's because I genuinely wasn't paying attention to that stuff. So when you start a YouTube channel and you put your video up, you're going to get crickets. You're absolutely going to get crickets. There's some things I can, suggestions I can make to help you grow faster, and I'll do that. But you have to be willing to put in a lot of effort and get very little return and do it because you enjoyed creating something, the creative process. So it's funny, I was talking to a guy about 4 or 5 months ago. It's funny, I was actually on his podcast. It was like a video podcast, but I don't think a lot of people listen to it. So I was giving him some YouTube advice and I'm like, you know what? The problem with your YouTube channel is you are creating content that no one cares about, you know? So, I mean, ultimately you have to create something, but why don't you try to create something that someone's going to actually be interested in? And I also said to him, I said, you know what? No one knows you. So no one wants to hear anything about you and your story. People care about you later. They don't care about you in the beginning. So why don't you, you know, the best kind of content you can make on YouTube right now is how to do something, how to solve a problem. So why don't you just focus each of your videos on what problem am I going to solve for that person? They're going to find your video because they're searching for a solution for the problem. And a lot of these types of topics, it's easy to be like in the top five on YouTube. And then you just have a better thumbnail than everyone else. And that's how you can get the ball rolling on this. And he understood, because I was actually speaking directly to him, trying not to be offensive, but yet be direct. And I think anyone starting out on YouTube, you want to start with, what problem am I solving for my ideal audience? And you have to start that way. Later on, you can make a video about what you ate for dinner last night, and people already know you, and those people will like to see that. But in the beginning, I don't care what you ate last night, and I don't really care about you. Not to be harsh, okay? I'm just like saying the reality of it. No one cared about me, and I never talked about me in the beginning. But now, if you see some of my content, I will to start telling more and letting people get to know you. So if you create content that solves someone's problem, and the title of your video is about solving that problem, what some normal person would type in on Google, that's how you're going to start building something and make it very shareable. So tip number one, do that, okay? Tip number two, then you got to take your content and you got to find out where the people are that would benefit from it the most. So it's no secret to anyone that's been following me. If I make a video about a product, I'm going to find out where all those product users are. And I'm going to say, here's the video about the product. And they're going to see this and they're going to say, great, you just like reduced my learning curve. I love you. Here's my I'm going to subscribe. Oh, I'm going to make one clarification. You said if there's anything that I would do differently if I could do it all over again. And there's one thing. I make lots of mistakes, so there's probably more than one thing. But the one thing is, I don't think I asked in like the first 100 videos for anyone to click on the subscribe button. What's wrong with me? And so when I got the idea through looking at what other people were doing, then I started to always ask for them to subscribe and click on the notification bell. And then you just see things skyrocket. Now, anyone in my niche, they all do the same exact thing. I'm not saying they're copying me, but they are, because they kind of are. Anyways.
It's so funny. I've had that conversation with so many business owners with just their website of, so we have to assume, and I'm not saying this is the reality, but the best approach is assume that the person, you know, looking at your webpage or watching your video is the dumbest person you've met, because you have to tell them exactly what you want. Even if it seems obvious to you, you know, you have to tell them exactly what you want them to do. Otherwise, most people just don't think about it. Because like you touched on earlier, they don't really care about you. It's not about, you know, trying to figure out what, you know, how to help you or what it is. You know, people are consuming content because they have something that they're trying to figure out or solve, or some need they're trying to meet. And so the last thing on their mind is, oh, how can I help this person? Usually, some people are just naturally that way, I think. But in general, you know, like be very direct, very specific. If you want them to click a button, ask them to click a button and show them how to click the button, and be very, very, very specific and direct in what you're asking for. And that's where you'll start to see the results. So that's awesome.
Yeah. You have to tell people what to do next, or they're just going to leave. Hey, yeah. You like this? This is what you do next. Although I ask in the beginning, I'm like, hey, if you liked what I said in the last 30 seconds, you're going to like the rest, you know, subscribe, please. You know?
Yeah. And I think that, you know, the resistance that I feel from people is, a lot of the times they feel like they're being pushy or something like that. But in reality, most of the time, like, we appreciate being told what, you know, what kind of what to do next, so we don't have to think about it, right? That saves us the mental capacity of, you know, what am I supposed to be doing here? If you're direct and make the ask, you're actually helping them and you're not being pushy.
And they want that. Yeah, I got to say though, some things I've realized through the internet, you meet people all around the world. I'm American. You're in the US as well. You're American. I think American culture, it's okay to ask and to ask for the sale and to ask these things is okay here. But you've got other cultures, like in the UK, yeah, they feel like there's this weird, I'm a dirty person because I asked them to subscribe, or, you know, I said, click on the link. I'm this horrible, awful person, you know. But you're not, you know, there's nothing wrong with asking for what you want or what you want them to do next, especially when you just gave them something. So anyway, so, you know, I'm sure there's listeners from all over the place. So don't take any offense to this if you're in the UK. This has just been some observations that I've had.
Awesome. Well, let's shift gears a little bit, because one of the things that, you know, we got the opportunity to meet for the first time back in February at the Mavericks event, and got to hear a little bit of your story there. And I found it really fascinating, you know, your transition from, you know, the online content creation piece has been your primary business, and like primarily referral marketing through that. And then you made a little bit of a shift to actually partnering to create your own piece of software. So I'm really curious to hear about like what went into that decision, why that was a good fit for you, and what that process looked like.
Yeah, so I always knew that I'm an entrepreneurial guy and I like to take risks, and I've always done that my whole life. And so I always knew, or maybe like a year into WP Crafter taking it serious, so like early 2016, I knew that eventually I would come out with the software. I wanted to get into the product business. So I have the things going together. And this isn't anything new. Any content creator has probably heard this concept of you build the audience, you find out what they need, and then you make it for them and you give it to them. So if you're a content creator and maybe people want some deeper training on a particular topic, and you created this course and you sold it to them. So it's building the audience, finding their needs and making it and giving it to them. Although that's actually not the full genesis that I followed. Anyways, I knew I was going to get into products. And so I'm not a developer. I'm not a software developer. I don't know how to run a software development company. So I was making lots of friends. I make lots of friends and talk to lots of people. And so one of the guys that I started talking to in probably early 2016, maybe late 2015, his name is Sujay Power. Well, we always say power, like power, but that's actually not how it's really pronounced. Anyways, has a company called Brainstorm Force, and they had a couple what are called add-ons for different tools. And he had just come out with an add-on, and I bought it, and he saw that I bought it and reached out, and we just became friends, like a peer relationship. And it's so funny because I'm in my mid 40s and he's like in his mid 20s. So I'm like an old man compared to him, but I've never felt like for someone to be my peer, they need to be like my age or anything like that. This guy is wise well beyond his years. You should actually have him on your show sometime. He's got an amazing story. Anyways, we start building a friendship, and he came out this way in 2017. So I had been talking to him on the internet. We'd had meetings for 2 years. And we would probably talk a couple times a week, and we'd strategize business ideas and things like that. So he came out here. And he was only I live near Los Angeles, California. So he came out to he was just stopping in California for a day. And he let me in between going someplace else. So he let me know. And I said, oh, hey, I'm going to drop everything and I'll come and let's go do some things. So I picked him up at the airport. I'm a horrible tour guide. So if you're thinking of coming to LA for a day, do not ask me to take you around. So anyways, we end up later that day I want to take him to, you know, in India. He's from India. He flight in from India. They're mostly a vegetarian diet, not intentionally, but they just naturally don't eat a lot of meat. So I take him to Fleming Steakhouse and I get him steak and lobster, and he never had lobster before. And it's just they don't eat fish or anything. So I get him like a filet mignon and a lobster tail, and we're sitting there and we're having a beer, we're having a good time. And I said, you know, I want to come out with a product. Do you want to do it with me? And he said, sure. But see, here's the thing. We spent 2 years building a friendship. So he kind of knew my nature, and I felt trusting in him and his nature. And that's when the idea started, and I shared with him that, hey, I want to make a sales funnel building tool for WordPress, and this is how I'd like it to work. And he said, let's do it. And that was the beginning of this product, which has now been out for almost a year, called CardFlows. And I got to learn a lot about the process of creating software and how to do it right, because everything he's done in his company, they've done right. Just for context for the listeners, his company now has like 70 developers, support and developers and all that. It's a lot of people. So he was the perfect person to partner with, and he's a master at team building and leading projects. So, and leading people and hiring the right people. So he was the perfect fit, and We launched the software a year after, almost to the day, a year after we had that dinner. We launched the software, and this was in November of 2018, and it's been outstanding with WordPress. It's a WordPress plugin. So with WordPress plugins, there's public statistics. And just a couple of days ago, we surpassed Cartflow's being used on 30,000 websites, which is unheard of for something that's not even been out a year. And it's now on 30,000 websites. So it's been a big success. Awesome. It actually fed into a second product that we made completely free for people, and it's a cart abandonment solution for e-commerce. You know, cart abandonment, someone goes to the checkout page and gets cold feet. Well, it captures the info and automates contacting them back, maybe giving them a coupon. And we made that, and we made it 100% free, and that's going to hit 40,000. And that's only been up like four or five months, and it's going to hit 40,000 active installations soon. So these things are just working.
Wow. What was that one called?
That is Cart Abandonment Recovery for WooCommerce. But if you just Googled Cart Abandonment Recovery WooCommerce, it'll pull it right up. So exciting times. And you know what matters the most to me is not that I created something that some people can buy, because I've also created free versions, everything. There's lots of free stuff here, but that the people that have been loyal to me and my subscribers, they can now use this, and they are using this, and it's making a huge difference in their businesses. So that's what ultimately matters the most.
Yeah, absolutely. So I've been a Cartflow's user pretty much since we met in February. I use it for my funnels with Inigo and our clients. And it's funny, because I remember what you said about it was you set out to make the best funnel builder for WordPress, and you ended up making the best funnel builder, period. And I found that to be absolutely true, because it's so seamless and it works really, really well. So definitely cool. And Adam did not ask me to say this, everyone.
I appreciate it.
It's fantastic.
Well, since you brought it up, we've got big plans for it, and I can reveal some of it. I'm very loose with the secrets. So a lot of our customers already that are, you know, following our social channels, they already know what we're working on. And one of the things we are convinced we need to do is, and we've already started the process of building our own super lightweight and simple e-commerce platform that will work with Cartflow's for our Cartflow's customers. So you don't necessarily have to have the big WooCommerce on your website. You still can, but you won't have to. And you will get reoccurring subscriptions as an option for taking payments, recurring payments, installments, trials, and all that with Stripe, Molly, and PayPal. Molly's for the EU customers because they prefer that. And it's going to be super simple and lightweight. We're convinced, and we've been strategizing this for months, and we've already started heading down that path. And so I'm super excited because we want to create an entirely new e-commerce experience for people on WordPress. And this is what we think is going to do it.
Oh, that's amazing. I definitely want to be one of the beta testers on that. That sounds fantastic.
Oh, yeah. And all our customers are going to just get access to this. They're not going to pay any more money. It's just, here you go. And the reason that we're able to do that is because, this is actually my favorite thing about Cartflow's, and it's a unique position. A lot of times when someone comes out with a product, like they need that product to make money so that they can pay their bills. I don't need Cartflow's to make any money to pay my bills. And Suchet sure as heck doesn't either. So we are able to take whatever revenue there is and just dump it all right back in. We just want to dump it all right back in. Well, I'm not taking a penny. He's not taking a penny. We don't need those pennies. I do really good on the WP Crafter side, and I'm, you know, no complaints here. And he does good with his other software products. So we're able to, for the benefit of our own customers, is we have the flexibility of just dumping all the cash right back in there, because I don't need it to pay a bill, and he doesn't either. So we get leverage like that. And that's what content creators, if you're able to generate revenue off of your content and then you create some kind of a product, you can make that the best that it can be, because you already have multiple streams of income.
Dude, that's amazing. Most people cannot say that. So that's fantastic. So before we kind of start wrapping stuff up, you had mentioned before the call that you were in the process of writing a book. Do you want to talk about that a bit?
Absolutely. It's a monumental task. So anyone listening that has this crazy idea of writing a book, it's a monumental task on the different stages of it, right? Writing a book is huge. Getting someone to buy the book is huge. So, you know, there's actually three stages to writing a book. And my wife, I never actually had it on a bucket list item to write a book. My wife wanted me to write a book. She's like, you know what? You should write a book one day. And so I really started getting serious about it 4 months ago. And I've been working on it for 4 months. It's coming out in probably March of 2020. And I have someone helping, a publisher that's helping me with this. Ironically, the same person that helped one of my Cardflow's competitors write his books, he's the same individual that's helping me with my books. So that competitor is Russell Brunson. So he's been very successful with his books, and I'm not doing it to copy him, but I've always wanted to do this to reach more people. And so it's actually the next genesis of creating content, right? It's just another form of content that you're creating, but it's the longest form content. So I think people that, if they knew my story a bit more in detail and how it weaves into what I've been able to do as a content creator and ultimately the freedom that I'm able to have today because of the success of creating the content, people that read that story and get the direction on how to do the same thing in their lives can really be inspired, number one, and see their lives change the way that my life has changed. I have a lot of financial freedoms that I didn't have in the past. And one of the little stories in the book is how my wife, she's always had in her mind what a dream car was. We're driving this like 12-year-old Jeep. It's got an oil leak, but it's the car we brought my son home from the hospital. We've had this forever, but you know, it's nothing fancy. And she always wanted a white Range Rover. And I'm thinking, how the heck am I going to pay for a white Range Rover? You bet that is going to stay a dream. Anyways, last year for our anniversary, I said, you know what, honey? Let's go buy a white Range Rover. And we went and bought a white Range Rover that day, the day of our anniversary. And I have the money to pay for it. And it's actually a tax write-off. So it's actually really, really good. And we use it for the business, of course. Anyway, so we go and get this dream car that she's always wanted. And you actually go through some weird genesises, right? You're freaking out. Oh my gosh, I'm spending $100,000 on a car. But then here we are a year later. And you know what? I'm so glad I did that. It's just breaking a ceiling, you know, breaking a glass ceiling. You make this big purchase, you go out there, and the mind shift that you have to go through, the mindset shifts. But with that, I'm able to do that now, do those kinds of things. Here, your dreams are coming true. And I'm not a greedy money type of guy or anything like that. I live the same way, minus that car. I live the same exact way today that I did before all of this success. I live the same exact way. I go to the same restaurants and I'm clipping the same coupons. But, you know, we decided to live a little and have that. And that's like the freedom, you know, the freedom that comes when you're able to make money this way through your content. And that's what every content creator should be aspiring to do. How can this produce some form of a benefit people, but then earn some money through this as well?
Oh, I love it. Awesome. Well, Adam, I really appreciate you being on the show today. You've just shared so much, so many gold nuggets with us. Before you hop off, do you want to tell everyone where they can find you online?
Absolutely. I'm super easy to find. So you could go to, most of my content's on YouTube. So you can go to youtube.com/WP Crafter. You can go there. You can Google WP Crafter, go to www.wpcrafter. And also there's an awesome Facebook group that I interact with people daily. And that's at facebook.com/groups/WP Crafter. So just, it's like this consistent theme. And if you're interested in Cardflows, there's a free version of it. You can learn more about it at cardflows.com. And I want you to know that if you watch a video and leave a comment, I'm probably going to answer you. And thank you for your comment. So it's very easy to reach out to me. If you fill out my contact form, I'm probably going to respond to you. And if you ask me a question in the Facebook group, I'm usually going to respond to you. That's actually the secret to YouTube growth, by the way, is responding to people. Anyways.
Fantastic. Thanks again for being on the show. And we will definitely keep a lookout for that book.
All right. Yes. Maybe you have me back on so we can make a special incentive for people to buy the book, because I'm going to need all the help I can get.
Absolutely. I'd love it.
Okay. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Hey, everyone. Thank you for listening to the Content Heroes podcast. I just wanted to take a second and let you know that we have some amazing guests planned for the coming weeks. So if you haven't already, go ahead and hit subscribe so you can make sure to catch every episode. And if you enjoyed today's episode, go ahead and leave a 5-star review to help make it easier for other content creators to find and enjoy the show. Lastly, I'd like to invite you to join our Content Heroes Facebook community, where you can connect with other online content creators to share, learn, grow, and have fun. To join the group, just visit contentheroes.com/Facebook. Once again, that is contentheroes.com/Facebook.